Welcome to another episode of the official DigiMarCon podcast. Here's some of the latest top-voted keynotes, panels, and masterclasses from recent DigiMarCon digital marketing, media, and advertising conferences worldwide. Get ready to gain insight into emerging strategies, the latest trends, and best practices from industry thought leaders and experts to move your business, brand, or agency to the next level.
Everything I'm going to be sharing today is all about how to supercharge your content to generate leads. We're very big on lead generation and not just posting content for the sake of it. Before we get started, though, I just wanted to do a bit of a quick survey just so I can understand exactly who we've got here and what the biggest pain points are going to be. So I'm just curious, if you have a blog or content section on your website, can you just drop a B in the chat window or the Q&A window, just so I can understand what? So it can be any sort of blog or content site. Just drop me a letter B. So traditional blog, article section, knowledge base, whatever it might be. Just drop me a B so I know. Okay, we've got a fair few of those. Okay, great. Good stuff. Okay. Next question. Drop me an S if you're posting any sort of social content for your business. This is not personal stuff. This is for the business. Okay, we've got some of those as well. Great stuff. Okay, good. I'm in the right place. Final question. This is a bit of, hopefully this doesn't touch a nerve, but give me an H if you are happy with the volume of leads or sales that that activity is generating for you. Oh, someone is very happy. Congratulations, Robert. Everyone else? Not so much. Okay. So for those who can't see the Q&As, there's a lot of Bs, a lot of Ss, and one H. And this is fairly typical. A lot of people are spending time and energy and resource building content, but they are definitely not generating the volume of leads that makes that activity worthwhile. And this is often a pain point. Now, you're not unique, as that survey shows. If you just typed B and an S, but no H, you are absolutely not unique. At Exposure Ninja, we do a lot of digital marketing teardowns of well-known brands and brands that people look up to. And on our YouTube channel, one of the most recent teardowns we've posted is of Best Self Co. Now, I don't know if you know Best Self Co, but they're productivity journals and basically tools to help you become your best self. Diaries and that type of thing. And as I was doing their teardown, I stumbled upon this on their website, which is the Best Self Hub. Now, one of the things that we do a lot for clients at EN is we will help them build a content section, knowledge base, that type of thing, as a way of driving a lot of organic traffic, because this can be a very profitable and productive traffic source. So when I found this Best Self Hub, I thought, great, they're posting loads of informational stuff all about productivity, all about how to be your best version of yourself, which is exactly what we would want them to do. So I was expecting this to be really productive for them because it looks like they're posting, at least something every week or so, every couple of weeks. When I threw their site into SE ranking to have a look at how it was actually performing for them, though, I was really disappointed. Not only is the site not getting much traffic, but this content section on their site that they're putting so much energy into is driving very, very little traffic. And what's worse is once I started analyzing what they were doing with the content, we can assume that there is very little business impact of posting this as well. So in their case, what they're doing is they're allocating a lot of resource to content on their site, which is driving almost no traffic, which is going to be incredibly frustrating. So that's scenario one. And I don't know how much this resonates with people, but you're putting energy into content production, whether it's on your website or on your social, but it's not generating much. Scenario two is this one here. So this is a very niche business. We're looking at Google Analytics stats here, very niche business, very small traffic volumes that they would be targeting. And what's happening here is these blog posts, all of these are blog posts, and they are generating traffic, not loads of it, but given the time period that we're looking at here, a decent volume considering their market. But yet when we look over in the goal completions column, when we see how much this is actually bringing them in lead volume, it's very, very low, really, really low. So 13 leads for the 5,300 visits that they've had this week, at a conversion rate of 0.24%. So and by the way, that's a combination of job applicants and legitimate leads. So we've got these two scenarios. We've got example number one, where you've got lots of work going in, not much traffic being driven. And then we've got example number two, where there is lots of, or relatively lots of traffic for the size of their market, relatively lots of traffic being driven, but very few leads. Obviously, the outcome for both of them is that the work is basically pointless. Someone's asked the question, what would be a good conversion rate? We'll actually come back to that a little bit later on. It's a great question. And by the way, if you've got any questions, you don't need to save them to the end. As Aaron said, just drop them in the Q&A and I'll try and answer them as we're going, because often they're more relevant in the moment than they might be later on. So what's a good conversion rate? It really depends on the content and how we're meeting the audience where they are. So we will come back to that later, but it's a great question. Now, obviously, the good news is it doesn't have to be like this. This sort of frustration where you're putting time and energy into content and it's not being productive doesn't have to be like that at all. This is a rather small screenshot. This is for one of our clients. They are an accreditations company in the UK, a very well-known accreditation company. So if you want to get a government contract, for example, you will have to go through an accreditation, and they are one of the most well-known providers of that. And we were working with them on this stuff, this kind of content production thing. Now, they're very well-known, so they get a lot of brand traffic. They get a lot of people searching for them directly, and they also get a lot of their customers logging into the site, or, you know, searching for their brand name to come back to the site and log in. Despite that, 19 of their top 22 traffic driving pages are now content pages on their website using what I'm going to show you today. I'm not going to show you their lead volume because it's, you know, it's proprietary with NDAs and that type of thing. But suffice to say, they are not on this webinar being upset about the number of visits and the number of the leads that they're getting from it. That's a large business. This is an absolutely tiny business. This is a boutique legal practice. And just to show that this stuff works for businesses at any level, tiny boutique legal practice. Here you can see analytics, their top inbound landing pages. And you can see the content sections there highlighted in yellow. These are just basic blog posts about the topics that they target. And you can see that this legal practice is generating about 50% of their total leads through the content sections on their website and driving huge volumes of traffic. Now, this is a really tiny practice. This is not the sort of legal practice that would be generating hundreds of leads through their website, and yet they are. So this just shows that this stuff works at various different levels. So how can it be that a tiny boutique legal practice specializing in one particular type of divorce law can be driving more organic traffic than a site like Best Self? Well, that's exactly what we're going to look into. So how do you generate a ton of leads from content? There's only really two things: get traffic to it, convert that traffic. Those are the two things that we've got today. So thank you. Good night. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through three principles that you can apply to make this stuff happen for you. Just to give you a bit of background as to who I am and where this information comes from. I actually started my life after university as a professional drummer, and I was a professional drummer right up until about 2011. In 2011, I built a website for my next door neighbor who was a pastor. It completely changed his life. And I got hooked on digital marketing. I wrote a book called How to Get to the Top of Google in 2013, which is still one of the world's best-selling SEO books. I started a digital marketing agency, Exposure Ninja, on the back of that. We're now a team of 104. We are the best-reviewed digital marketing agency in the UK, which we are very proud of. And we work with and advise around 1,500 businesses per year. We're all over YouTube. We've got podcasts, social media, all that type of stuff at Exposure Ninja. So give us a follow if you're into this stuff. We share everything that we learn about digital marketing, everything that we learn from clients, we share on our social channels and particularly on our YouTube channel. So if you're into this sort of stuff, then go find us there. Okay, good. So I've got three tips for you. One is about increasing traffic. One is about increasing traffic and conversions. And then one is purely about increasing conversions. So tip number one is all about increasing traffic. Now, this sort of content should be absolute organic traffic gold. This should be the sort of content, these content sections on your site should be driving a huge proportion of your overall organic traffic to your site. But people get frustrated when they put this time in to making content and it doesn't rank. So my first tip is, if you want to rank, content actually deserve to rank. And we're going to look at what this means. It sounds very basic, but it's the main reason that most content does not rank and does not bring its own traffic. If we look, for example, if we go back to that example of the accreditations business, one of the phrases that we wanted to target very early on for them was something called Common Assessment Standard. This is a particular accreditation, which is very, very competitive. Lots of sites wanting to rank for it. We knew if we wanted to rank for this term, we couldn't just put together a 300-word blog post called Common Assessment Standard and expect that to rank. We knew that if we wanted to target this, we had to bring really heavy artillery. So that's exactly what we did. I'm going to show you the page that we put together in order to rank for this competitive term. So you can see, compared to most content pages, this is fairly in depth. It's long, it's broken up with images, it's got videos in there as well, it's got reviews embedded, it's got links to other article topics, it's got calls to action. The images are unique, that you know they're created for this article. There is a lot of work that has gone into this if we compare this to the other sites that were ranking. And we knew that if we were going to rank for this term and maintain that ranking, we had to be the best in every regard. We couldn't bring second-rate content to this search. We had to be the best. And I cannot emphasize the importance of this enough. Often we'll work with a business who is trying to rank for a particular term, or they're trying to get their content visible, and we'll look at the stuff they're posting, and legitimately, it doesn't deserve to rank. There's no way Google could deserve to rank it. So that we know that this business, their competitors won't compete. They cannot bring the resource to this that we are doing with Chas. And if they do, we'll just take it to another level. So if, say, a competitor comes out with a longer piece with more content, or they add more videos in or whatever, we will build it out further. We'll build it into a knowledge base, whatever. My message here is compete to win. If you're going to try and rank for a term, be better on every single metric, be better on every single criteria, and really deserve to rank. The end result of this sort of approach is that, these slides are skipping around, it's great fun. You can pick up feature snippets. Here we've got a feature snippet, top organic position for this site, and this is a huge traffic driver for them. So what's deserving to rank? It's all about the length and the detail that you're bringing to your content on your site. It's about structuring it to be useful. So this is headings and subheadings, helping people find the information that they need. We'll actually come back to this a little bit later on. And of course, it's about making it interesting. Going back to the example of Best Self and why their content section is so unproductive for the business, if you look at any of the posts on their Best Self Hub, you'll see that they are 600, 700 words, so they're a good length. There is nothing interesting about them at all. They are a wall of text. And as a potential visitor, when you visit that post, it might be the best information in the world, but you will never get through that because it is so boring to try and read. Whatever device you're on, it's boring. There's nothing breaking it up. So be interesting. That's both for your content and also the formatting of the content as well. Okay, tip number two is to meet your user where they are. So this is about understanding the phase of the buyer journey that your user is with the content that you're posting. So I'll explain a little bit later. Before I do that, though, I want to share my favorite search. Now, I perform this search at least once a quarter and have done since probably 2015. It's everything to me. And that is by Viagra. So the reason that I love this search so much and that I love Googling this term is anything in porn, pills, and casino is super, super competitive. When you search by Viagra, you are getting a digital marketing masterclass on how to make content perform, because the sites that are ranking for this term are fantastic. They are playing at the top of their game. If you want to see great digital marketing, go and Google porn, right? Being honest, most competitive term on the planet. So using these terms, porn, pills, casino, you can find some great digital marketing. But Viagra for me is a really good one because it's also a very commercial term. Now, one of the sites that's ranked consistently since I've been searching this is Dr. Fox in the UK, by the way. So this is a pharmacy site in the UK. And if we think about the types of people that are searching for Buy Viagra, we've basically got two audiences. We've got people who know what this product is. They've bought it before. This is very transactional. They're just looking for a reliable place to buy the product from. So in a sense, they don't need a huge amount of content. They need credibility. When we go on the Dr. Fox website, we see all of the sections that I've highlighted in yellow there. They're designed to build credibility for this first audience type. This is essentially, are you going to be buying a legitimate product from a reputable company? And they've nailed all of those things. So we've got a huge amount of credibility being built on this page, whether it's the accreditations that they've got, the care quality commission, inspection ratings. We've got information about how their process works. We've got reviews. We've got a video about how it works. We've got the business name, the phone number, and an email address that you can contact, which is a great way of building credibility. They've got that stuff above the fold in the header. Loads of credibility being built on this page for the first audience. Now, the second audience for this page is the people that have not bought Viagra before. And if you think about what an intimidating purchase this is, whatever we are selling, it's probably not as difficult as Viagra to sell because there are so many potential blockages, potential stumbling blocks and objections that people might have before buying something like this. It's a scary purchase as purchases go. So let's look at how this website handles that audience, because this is really instructive. So here we can see the full page, and you don't need to be able to scroll in. I can talk you through, you don't need to be able to zoom in. I can talk you through the main elements. We have every possible question that anybody could have about Viagra being answered on this page. You have information about how to buy it, different types of Viagra, generic products versus the brand products. Does it always work? How does it work? What are the side effects? Recreational misuse? Warnings. We've got Q&A section, this huge knowledge base kind of accordion posts about all the different questions that someone might have. We've got links to related articles. We've got embedded reviews, information about the ordering process and further posts as well. This is absolutely monster. They are bringing their A game to this. And this is what I mean about meeting their audience where they are. They understand what's in the mind of the potential buyer, and they are answering all of those questions on this page. Now, if we compare this to our own content pages, we will often find that we are going into nowhere near as much depth. And people get concerned about, you know, how much do I need to post on my website? How long does each page need to be? That type of thing. We don't want to make it too long. We don't want to make it boring. You can see how this has been formatted to get the visitor to the right section for them and to make these headlines, these subheadlines, very scannable. So we're meeting the audience exactly where they are. And there's another aspect of meeting the audience where they are, which is how you decide what to post. So I'm going to give you another example here, this time for our agency, Exposure Ninja. Now, before I do that, I just need to kind of set the scene and give you a bit of background. So our agency, we work entirely with inbound leads. We don't do any kind of outbound sales stuff, because if a marketing agency can't generate leads, then that's a bit weird, right? So we get all of our leads coming into us. And we do this through something called a free website and marketing review, which is this. So the free website and marketing review, basically, we offer people a 15-minute video where we rip apart their website, show them things that they could do better. We look through all their digital marketing channels, again, look for opportunities, things that they could be doing better, analyze their competitors, all of this sort of stuff. We wrap it into a 15-minute video, which we send to them via email 2 to 3 working days. So that's our kind of lead magnet, if you like. And we do thousands of these. We've done over, I don't know, 30,000 of them, which is interesting in itself. But this is our CTA. This is our call to action across our website. So with that context, I'm going to show you 2 blog posts on our site, each with a similar amount of traffic per week, but with a very, very different outcome. So 2 blog posts here. The first blog post is called Extract URLs from Archive.org. It's about how to extract URLs from Archive.org. So if you know the Wayback Machine, it's this thing that allows you to see websites at different points in history. Fascinating. First time you use it, you have a blast looking at Facebook from 2005 and all this type of stuff. Great fun. And that article in this time period has had 3,815 visits, which in this time period is actually not too bad. The second blog post is called Why Isn't My Website Making Any Sales? So that's had actually fewer visits in that same time period. period. But I want to draw your attention over to the goal completions column here. Now, this is this digital marketing review that I showed you, because this is a call to action on our website. So although these two posts have had the same amount of traffic, actually the first one has had more, the volume of leads that they've generated could not be any different, right? The first one has generated 3 leads at a 0.08% conversion rate. The second one has generated 181 leads at a 5.4% conversion rate. So why this difference in search volume? Well, this ties into Robert's great question earlier from what would be a good conversion rate. It depends how much we're meeting the audience where they are. So let's think about these topics. We're offering a digital marketing review. Let's say that someone comes onto our site looking at how to extract URLs from archive.org, and we say, hey, now you know how to extract URLs from archive.org. Do you want a digital marketing review? Well, some people will be like, yeah, I guess, but it's not really where they're at. If we compare this to, why isn't your website making any sales? Someone types that into Google, lands on a great post, and then we say, if you want us to show you why your website isn't generating as many sales as you'd like, request a free digital marketing review here. We'll give you a 15-minute video that shows you how to implement the changes that you need to make in order to get your website generating sales. We can see why the conversion rate is so much better. So this thing about meeting your audience where they are is about identifying the topics where people are in the most pain so that you can make your call to action have sense for them, make sense for them. And if we think about the buyer journey, whatever kind of wording you can use awareness, interest, desire, action, awareness, intent, consideration, intent, or curiosity, research, intent, whatever phrases you use, every marketing funnel has basically the same shape, doesn't it? And what we'll find is that the conversion rate of content is actually inverse to the stage of the buyer journey, right? So at the intent stage, where someone is in real pain and you're creating a post which solves that pain, you'll have a much higher conversion rate. Now, the trade-off you'll make is that that'll be a lower traffic search term, right? Because that's the deal with a marketing funnel. You have a lot of broad traffic at the top and then a much smaller range of focused traffic at the bottom. But if we're meeting our audience where they are in their pain points, that's when we really get high conversion rates. Okay, does this make sense? I have no idea how you would answer that, but I hope it does. Okay, the next tip I've got for you is to use appropriate lead bait. So this ties in quite closely with the previous one. Now, to illustrate what I'm talking about, I'm going to show you some examples. I'm going to show you some examples of Google searches, and I'm going to show you examples of lead magnets that actually are very high performance lead magnets. But we need to think about where they're appropriate for this stage in the buyer journey. For example, someone Googles, why does my husband's breathing annoy me? You go to a blog post, the call to action says free consultation, ready for the next step, talk to one of our expert divorce solicitors, schedule a free call. Now, that's not a bad call to action in the right context, but in this context, it's way too soon. Way, way, way too soon. Another example here, I'm cold. Well, ensure a smooth transition to Spain. To properly assist you in your move to Spain, we'll schedule a free consultation call with via phone or Skype. Again, it's a good call to action, but not at that stage. So hopefully you can see the message here. Another example, I'm locked out of my house. Well, here are the best smart locks with an affiliate link through to buying some smart locks. Again, great call to action, very productive, can be a very profitable thing to be doing, but totally wrong stage of the buyer journey. So this is all about understanding this buyer journey funnel and making sure that the call to action you're offering against any of that content matches where people are at. So let's say that you've got a really broad focused awareness piece for people right at the top of the user journey, right at the top of the buyer funnel. They're just in that curiosity mode. Well, rather than going for the jugular with something about get a free consultation, get your free divorce call, you might want to offer a cheat sheet or a download, something like that, where people can get more information. So if we have a really long blog post, we'll often offer a cheat sheet, which is just basically a way of saying, you know, get all of this in one go very quickly via email. Then we've got their email address. We can put them in a follow-up sequence, which gradually moves them down this buyer journey. At the interest stage, people might be up for signing up for some sort of email list. Obviously, we never want to call it that because email list has very low perceived value. You might call this something like the training guides or the insiders club or something like that, where it has higher perceived value, but people will typically be more willing to commit to something like an email list if they are further down that user journey. As for the consideration, this is when people are starting to, I probably could buy that. They're starting to search for more commercial terms. This is when you might offer a free consultation. So you're starting to move people into a very clear sales process. And then once they're in intent, well, then we really want to either get started or free consultation, or you might sell them into some kind of tripwire product because they are ready to take a commercial action. So we want to make sure that our calls to action, the magnet that we're using to drive that lead, is appropriate to the stage that the buyer is at and that it's appropriate to the type of content that we're posting. Okay, so there we have it. We've got three tips to improve the lead generation from your content. First thing, get it ranking on organic. Any content you're posting on your website should be working hard for you. If your homepage is your main source of organic traffic, your content is not working hard enough. That homepage should be slammed down the list, totally outranked and out-trafficked by high volume other content pages on your site. So it needs to deserve to rank if it's going to do that. The second thing is to meet the user where they are. This is about answering the questions, the objections, the barriers that people might have in order to take that next step with you. And it's also about choosing topics that represent the pain that they're in at that point, right? So think about the free review. Why isn't my website making any sales? Or why isn't my website making enough sales? Get the free review and we will show you. That is really meeting the user where they are. And then use appropriate lead bait for the stage of the market, the stage of the marketing funnel that they're at. Make sure it makes sense. It's not too much too soon. And going back to your question, Robert, what would be a good conversion rate? Well, this depends on the stage of the journey that someone is at and the lead bait that's being used. So you've seen how you can have a blog post which is converting at 5.4%, which is absolutely nuts. But that is when you have a direct match between the intent of the user and the lead magnet that you're using. Whereas you can also have a fantastic, we looked at the solicitor example earlier, they're getting a huge volume of traffic for a very relevant informational term, and they've got a much lower conversion rate, but that's okay because they don't want to offer any lead magnets, they don't want to maintain an email list like this, they basically just want clients. So they just make do with a lower conversion rate, knowing that a relatively small percentage of the people that come through to that term are going to be relevant for them. And then they just make sure they get huge volumes of traffic, or we make sure they get huge volumes of traffic to do that. So that's what I've got for you. I'm happy to take any questions. And of course, if you want to request the free website and marketing review that I referenced earlier, then you can do so at exposureninja.com/review. You can find me on all of the channels, Tim Ninja Kitchen or Tim Cameron Kitchen. I mostly post on Instagram and YouTube. We've got 4 minutes. I finished the talk on time. How about that, Aaron? So if you've got any questions, then please drop them in the Q&A and we will get stuck in. I mean, one question that people often have is, how do we know what sort of topics are going to resonate most with our audience? So how do we find those questions than a pain point? And there's a few different ways you can do this, but one of my favorite ways is to talk to the sales team, because any sales team that is dealing with inbound inquiries, they are going to know what the most common pain points people have are. They're going to know these, what's the most painful situation that people are in when they pick up the phone, what's the first thing that people ask, and then you can write content about that. We also love sites like Answer the Public, which give you all pulls all the questions that people ask on Google, that type of thing. So that's a really good place to start. But talking to your customers is usually the best way. It's so common for a business or a marketing manager to overestimate their audience's knowledge of what they do, right? They imagine that they're asking these really technical questions, but why isn't my website making any sales? Just shows us that's a fairly kind of, I don't want to say dumb question, but it's not a technical question at all, is it? But that represents someone who needs a marketing agency much more than, say, conversion rate underperforming, which might be a technical way of describing this, but it's not actually the most common way of referencing that problem. Got a couple of minutes. No worries, Robert. Glad you enjoyed it. Great. Well, thank you, everyone. Don't forget to find Exposure Ninja on YouTube or whatever social platforms you tend to prefer. And I will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the official DigiMarcon podcast. DigiMarcon is the largest digital marketing, media, and advertising conference and exhibition event series in the world, holding in-person and hybrid events in over 40 cities annually across 22 countries, as well as virtual events and an international cruise. Learn more about upcoming DigiMarcon events near you at digimarcon.com/events. Thanks again for listening to the official DigiMarcon podcast.